put the right one in.
Well, good evening. We weren't here last week because it snowed. Or, not snow.
Ice.
Ice. Yeah. And, but we're here this week. Wasn't too bad getting in, right? Yeah. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Wednesday, Bible study. So, isn't it something that when you, when we miss one service, it like throws you off?
It does. It really does.
You know, I mean, it's like, and I think that's, it's like anything else. Like when you get used to something, like your body gets used to eating at a certain time, your body gets tired at a certain time. You ever notice that? Like right around the same time every day, you're ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? And even those times when you don't set the alarm and you say, I'm sleeping late, you'll wake up at about the time you normally wake up.
Yeah.
And then you tell yourself, go back to sleep, I don't have to get up. Because your body knows. Okay, it's time to... God has made us, he has made the body amazing. Right? I mean, because it does some things, it does a whole lot of things without us having to be involved.
Right?
Yes, it does.
Blood flows without you having to see about it. Your heart pumps. Right? I mean, we don't have any control over those things. This, our bodies are amazing, and so, you know, we get used to something, our bodies respond. And I think that when, you know, when we really get into this relationship building with God and we want to come to service for that reason, then when that's taken away, it's like we feel it.
Right.
Really.
Yeah. Like something's not right.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good place to be. If it snows or it rains or something else keeps you from service, and you don't miss a beat, then I'd be a little concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you can say, hey, you know, I don't feel right. I didn't go to service today. That's a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So praise God because he did that work. We can't take any credit
Amen.
For it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'd like to look at a psalm tonight, Psalm 62. And I want to do and get into what we were doing last year in terms of toward the end of last year, where we were doing a series of Bible studies. And we just haven't found it yet. But God will give it to us. But I like those. It has questions and we can get prepared a week in advance. I think those are good. So pray with me that God will lead us to the one he wants us to, the lessons that he wants us to go over. Amen?
Amen.
Is that Psalm?
62. Psalm 62. Have you ever been reading, you know, maybe a devotional or a book, and authors or the writer will say, that David said in the Psalms. And David did write a lot of Psalms, but he didn't write all of them. And then sometimes we gotta be careful because sometimes some of these writers will say, David said, and it's not even a Psalm he wrote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He
said the
Psalm of David. Right. That's right. But not all of them are Psalms of David. There's some that are ascribed to Hezekiah. We know that Asaph wrote some. We know that Moses wrote Psalm 90. And I don't believe David wrote Psalm 119 because it has all the different people responsible for that one. But anyway, it's just something to be careful about. Amen. Mm-hmm. David did not write all of the Psalms. Just like Paul didn't write all of the New Testament.
Right.
Amen. But David did write this one, Psalm 62. And I want to read it through and then... let some of these passages speak to our hearts and our situations tonight. I'll read, then we'll pray, then we'll come back. Amen. Let's read first. It says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Salah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you and praise you tonight, God. We're praying, God, that you'll speak to our hearts through your holy word, that, Father, that the Holy Spirit will make the scriptures come alive within us, O God. Give us revelation, give us insight. Give us, O God, a breakthrough, O God, what we need. And Father, we thank you that your word is powerful, and Father God, it can make all the difference in our lives. So Father, feed us the bread of life right now. We are ready to receive it. We're ready to be taught. We're ready to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so, you know, we read the Psalms many times. You know, I feel that the Psalms are probably more one of the more honest books in the Bible. Not that the other books are false, but honest in that the writers don't hold anything back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some complaining going on in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, and when I say complaining, I mean people who are dissatisfied but then come to God with it. You know, don't like the situation, don't like people lying on them, don't like, you know, enemies betraying them, you know. You know, the one who I had at my table, you know, I broke bread with, he's the one who betrayed me. You know, all those types of things. And, you know, the psalm is honest. The psalms are written, and I think there's a lot of honesty here. And I think that when we get to the psalm, you can find yourself in psalms. You can find yourself those times when, you know, the psalmist talks about, I was crying, I cried out to the Lord. You've been there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When the psalmist talks about how enemies came against him and lied on them, you said, I hear you on that one. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Because you've been there too.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
So the psalms has, I think, when you read through this, there's an honesty here. And I think there are times when we're going through something or feeling down or feeling pressured or feeling a struggle or whatever, you can find solace or comfort in the psalm. Because the writer will, you know, there's something in there, you go, I can relate to that.
Yes.
And one of the things I like when David, when we look at this psalm in a little bit more detail, is even though he has issues and he'll talk about his enemies and how they're trying to do things for him, he always has his heart and his mind on God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he doesn't know that people are there, because he even talks about his enemies doing certain things, but his focus is on God, because he knows God is his help. We said it before, and I think it's worth saying again. If you keep your eyes on people, we're going to get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are unreliable. People, and I'm saying anybody, but you know what I mean. But we're all that way.
Mm-hmm.
None of us do anything 100% right 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So people have a frailty built in. And if you look to people, you're going to end up being frustrated. Because somewhere along the line, someone is going to do something you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to disappoint you. Someone's going to let you down. Not because they're a bad person, but because they're human. But here's the other thing. I was talking, last week we were talking, and saying how I had a situation going on, and I said, and this guy's, and I said, I better get my money. Remember?
Right.
And then I said, but I'm not looking to him. I'm talking to God about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what that does? It makes me realize, and it makes us realize, whatever it is that we're struggling with, when we acknowledge God and say, Lord, this is my problem right here. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you to handle it. I don't believe God says no.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, he may give you a direction. He may say, okay, just wait. Or he may say, go and do such and such a thing. Mm-hmm. He may put you into action. But he's not going to go, what's that got to do with me? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so, it's something, because in that situation, I said, this is not, right? I said, but I'm looking to God. And you want to know something funny? I just now realized. Because today, the accountant for that person called me and said, I just want to let you know. Ah! I didn't have to call him. I just want to let you know.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, man. We're going to get authorization. Just want to let you know.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Right. But when we have issues like that, I mean, here's the thing. And this is, it's not like God is only there to solve our problems. We know better than that. But part of being God is that he wants to solve our problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the only, so we don't just go to him, we have problems, and then leave him alone the rest of the time. That's not relationship.
Right.
If you're building a real relationship, it's good times and bad times. It's sunshine and rain. Right? It's not just when you have a problem, we have a problem, we go talk to God. But here's the thing, isn't it wonderful that when you do have a problem, you can go talk to God?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
And he'll help.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in my mind for the last few days. You know, Matthew 11:28-30.
Mm-hmm.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, you think about what Jesus is saying there. He's calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You're burdened down? Come on. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart of God right there. Right? Because he says, look, you need rest. You'll find rest for your soul. Come. That's the God we serve. You look at Psalm 62. Look at David and how he begins this thing. He said, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. I don't know if I should go further yet. Right? Truly my soul waits upon God. Is that our present testimony, or is it a place that we want to get to? Because David said truly. Isn't it truly? Because it's almost like he's separating it from those who just say that. Right? Truly, my soul waits upon God. He said, some other people say that.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, but truly, can we say that? That truly my soul waits upon God.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we can sometimes. You know, sometimes you can be very disciplined and sort of very in tune with God and what he would have you to do. And there's other times when it's not like you totally forget, but it's like you do forget.
Mm-hmm.
You go, how am I going to ask God for help?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
David, though, I believe when he says, truly my soul waited upon God, I believe that he understood that there may have been some times in his own life where he believed he was walking close to God and reverencing God, but he had to look back on it and said, no, I wasn't. Can anybody think of a time when David wasn't walking close to God? Even if it was just for a moment. He let go of his hand. One thing that comes to mind for me is Bathsheba.
Yeah.
I don't think God was in that.
No. He wasn't in that.
I don't think God was saying what it sounds like, oh, look at my boy. You understand what I mean? And his man of God's own heart. You think when David wrote the letter to give to who's the captain? Was it Abner? No. Who's the captain of his army?
Abner? No.
I don't know. But he gave him the letter so that he could take out Uriah. Put him on the front line where the fighting was fiercest.
Right.
You think God was helping David write that letter?
No.
So I believe David, you know, maybe at those times and some others, where he realized that there were situations where he wasn't waiting on God. He wasn't relying on him. Mm-hmm. But he was making decisions based on what he wanted to do. Because if he was relying on God in those situations, none of that would have happened. So, I believe here, I don't know if David is someone saying truly as a way of separating himself from other people, or is he separating himself this time from other times in his own life.
Right.
And I believe we should take that more from it than talk about other people, because at least now we can be honest and say, I do that too. Sometimes I'm really connected, and sometimes I'm really sold out, and sometimes I'm really seeking Him. But you know what? Sometimes I'm not. It feels good when you're in that truly section, though.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't it? It feels good when you're in that truly section. When you are truly waiting on God, you're truly obeying, you're truly dependent, you're truly looking to Him and searching unto Him, you're truly walking in faith. Because here's the thing about God. God is real, and any relationship that we have with Him has to be a real one. Mm-hmm. It can't be our mouths just talking and saying some stuff. It's going to be how we carry ourselves each and every day.
Yes.
I tell you, you know, we have Bible studies every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's not a surprise. Right?
Right.
We have prayer every other Monday. Mm-hmm. And I know we got things going on, but here's the thing: is that, those who show up all the time got a truly in them when it comes to that. There's a lot of decisions that we make in our lives. You could have decided tonight to be someplace else.
Yeah.
And so could I. But even if you got something pressing on you, where you say, that's fine, but truly, this is God's time.
Wow. Wow.
Truly. Not just from my mouth. Truly. You know how you know truly? Because I'm coming, I'm showing up. So David begins this song by saying, truly my soul waiteth upon God. I'm really depending upon you, Lord. Because he has some problems here, some enemies trying to take him out. He always, you know, here's the thing. David was the king, and we think the king lives a life of leisure, don't we? After all, he's the king. Well,
no.
That's right, no. Because every leader, that's why God said, don't be so quick to be teachers. Don't be so quick to try to be in the lead, you know. I know both of us can appreciate this one, right? You have employees who think they're on the same level as you. And they have trouble simply getting to work on time. And they don't understand that you have to, that when they're halfway doing their job and not showing up and taking and having a full weekend of rest and relaxation, you're doing paperwork. You're thinking about where you're going to get new business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're paying bills.
Yeah.
You're paying your taxes. You're making sure payroll going to be run on time. And a whole host of other things. But when you walk on the job site, they think you're equal. You got to be kidding. David was a leader. David was king. But I'm telling you this, leaders do not live a life of luxury. There's too much responsibility. How many of you know responsibility is heavy? That's why when you don't have children, when you have a child, life is heavy.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it does.
It takes on more weight and more significance. Mm-hmm. So David's the king, but that doesn't mean he got a life of leisure. He has some enemies, and so he has to make a decision. And you know, here's the thing about leaders, and imagine this for David. Who's he going to go to and depend on? When everybody thinks he's the one who should have the answers. See, I think people who are in not in leadership role take for granted the fact that they can go to a leader and say, I need help.
Right.
But who does the leader go to? Because he's looking around at all the jokers that he got around him. He said, I can't say anything to these folks. Lord, help me.
Yes.
But here's the thing, in various ways in our own life, many of us, if not all of us, have some leadership position. It may not be in a company, it may not be in an organization, but it could be under your own household. It could be with a project that's coming that you have, you know what I mean? So it could be a temporary, but we all have that. And there comes a time where we got to get like David and go, truly, Lord, I'm waiting on you.
Yeah.
I'm looking to you. I'm depending on you. And look what David said. He said it for what? From him cometh my salvation. That seems like a simple statement, but how powerful it is. Because he's saying something here. I'm not looking to anything or anybody else for my salvation. And that salvation is not just saving my soul. That's the whole thing. For protection, for provision, for guidance, from him.
Yeah.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. From him cometh my salvation. Not the doctor, not the rich man, not the poor man, right. Not my neighbor, not my cousin, not my family. From him. He only is my rock and my salvation. See how David speaks about God?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not looking to anything or anybody else. And see, here's the thing. And that's what I was saying to you last week about, you know, God is teaching me to look to him instead of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're the person who has to be the one to make the decision, that would mean God look to you. I still should be looking to God and let him look to you. Okay, he can deal with you far better than I can deal with you. When I'm sleeping, he could be working on your heart. Do you remember Mordecai? When he was going to be hung on the gallows? Right? And the king tried to go to sleep. You remember? Mm-hmm. And he couldn't.
Right.
And they had to bring the books.
Right.
Having the history of the nation. And he just so happened.
Jesus.
Just so happened. To turn to the page. where it was told that Mordecai kept him from being assassinated by some jokers who wanted to take him out. And he said, he turned to his servant and said, what have we done for this man who's done this? They said, we haven't done anything. That's got to change. And so the next day, Right? Everything changed. Now Haman came in with his plot and wanted to talk about this one and that one. And then, you know, when Esther said, oh, he's trying to get rid of my people, the king was furious with him and all those other kinds of stuff. You remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's how it could be. Mordecai's at home thinking tomorrow might be his day. His last day. But God moves on the king's heart, won't let him go to sleep, and then he just so happens to turn to the page. That's how God is.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If we need help with a client, with a customer, with an employee, with a child, with a spouse, with a neighbor, too many times we look to people.
Yeah.
And David is saying that. He said, my salvation comes from God. God's the one who's going to deliver me. God's the one who's going to help me. God's the one who's going to intervene. I tell you what, that takes a whole lot of pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have as many conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
Turn them over to the Lord. Lord, I'm believing on you for this. Again, doesn't mean he's not going to require something of you in that situation. Let him speak to your heart, because he may tell you something that you would have never thought about doing. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, he says that in verse number 2. Let's go down to verse number 6, or number 5. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. You see how that said? My soul, wait thou only on God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you gotta speak to yourself.
Yeah.
To keep yourself in check.
Yep.
Yeah, David, my soul, wait thou only on God. Why? Because the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what's he saying? Don't get too emotionally wrapped up in this. Right? Don't get thinking too much about this. And don't go chasing after what you want to do. Isn't that good stuff right there?
Yeah.
Telling your soul, wait on God. Don't be thinking so much about this situation. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? Don't talk about what you want to do. Next time you feel like you may get a little agitated and you get a little frustrated, you say, my soul, wait thou only on God. Try it. Amen. Your soul got to follow your mouth.
Amen.
Your body follows your mouth. You tell it, right? Take control over it. That's like when you start to worry. Didn't Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled? Mm-hmm. So know what that means inside of us? We have the power to stop trouble in its tracks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? When he tells you don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow and all these things, right? That means we can stop worrying in his tracks. But I think it's a faith thing. And David's here to my soul, wait thou only upon God. And then he says this, for my expectation is from him. Now expectation, well first, let's do this. That wait thou only upon God. In some of the margins in the Bible, they may say, wait silently.
Mm-hmm.
That means don't go around complaining to folks when you're waiting on God. I don't know how many times I had somebody come up to me telling me what they're waiting on the Lord for. Sometimes you just got to keep it to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. God is big on some things that need to be kept to yourself. We were reading today about the fasting, right? Don't go around telling people you fast.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he said? In Matthew 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go get all disheveled and make this big scene about, you know. Something needs to be kept to yourself. And Jesus said, listen, you know, do it in secret. And your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly.
Yes. Yes.
But we do it the other way around. We do stuff openly and think God's going to reward us in secret. Think we can give a secret to God. Okay, God, well, you know, God's not giving you anything. So So wait silently on for God. Then he says this, for my expectation is from him.
Yeah.
My hope is from him. My expectation is from God. This is some powerful stuff because, see, when we're talking about our situation, we're dealing with different people. Sometimes we have expectations of other people, don't we?
Yeah.
You expect them to conduct themselves a certain way. You expect them to say certain things. You expect them to keep their word. You expect them to be where they said they were going to be at a certain time. You expect them to call.
Yeah.
We have a lot of expectations on people. But do we have enough expectation when it comes to God? What do you expect God to do? See, and you know, those who are in Sunday school say, I expect him to bless me. Okay, that's easy. But that's a general thing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When we have expectations of people, they're specific. Mm-hmm. Is wedding anniversary time? Wife expects. She expects a gift, and it better not be a household appliance. Right? But there's expectation. Little children have expectation when it comes to Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? People have expectation when they're going on vacation. So God, David says here, my expectation, my hope, right? He's hoping for something.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is from him. So watch this. He said, from him cometh my salvation, right? And from him is my expectation. David is so God-focused, even though he knows what's going on around him. But he knows that he's in a situation where he's not expecting his military training. He's not expecting his past victories. He's not expecting his great army of mighty warriors and mighty men of valor that he has to help him. He said, my expectation is from God.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That means now, you don't expect your money to do it. You don't expect your friends to do it. You don't expect your spouse to do it. Doesn't mean you can't have certain expectations on them. But I believe this. We should have more expectation of what God is going to do in our lives than what a person is going to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of us guys have flipped around the other way.
Amen.
I told this once before, years ago, that, you know, when I was working in the city, I'd come home. I don't even know why it happened, because sometimes you ever go through phases where you start to think certain things need to be a certain way. Yeah, sometimes you can just go on, everything's good, and then you get to a point where you're like, certain things gotta be a certain way. And you know, sometimes I think that's the enemy getting a hold of us, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get us to be discontent.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. And so I was in one of them phases. Right, where I'm coming home from work 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, and yeah, I come through the door, and I was like, I'm expecting to see my wife. Sometimes she's upstairs, don't move. Sometimes she's on the couch, don't move. And I remember sometimes I'm getting like a little frustrated, and God just said to me, you shouldn't have expectations. And see, here's the funny thing about it. See, people say, well, wait a minute. We live in a relationship with others. Shouldn't I expect you to treat me nice? Shouldn't I expect you to be there for me? Shouldn't I expect you? I don't know. Should you?
Wow.
But here's the thing. People are going to let you down.
Yes, they will.
So how wise is it to have expectation of them all the time?
Right.
I think it's this. Have some expectation of yourself to do things the way God has taught you and to carry yourself in a way that you believe is honoring him. And have less expectation on other people. Here's one thing I guarantee is going to happen with you. You're going to be less disappointed. The more expectation you have on people, the more opportunity you have to get disappointed. So if you're going to have expectation on anything, just expect from God. And then have expectation of yourself to be the best you can be for other people in your life. How about that? I don't believe God likes this looking at other people business. You know, looking at other people and trying to, you know, either put something on them or you know, make them feel a certain way. You know, sort of like when Jesus told John to mind his business. I mean, told Peter to mind his business. When it comes to the disciple John. He told Peter what kind of, you know, what he had to do after he was going to ascend. And here's Peter. What about this man, Lord? And the Lord had to say to him, what's it to you? Why are you looking at other people? I believe God wants us looking two places, inward and upward. Mm-hmm. Not outward at other people. Inward, see how what's going on in my heart, and upward, right? Mm-hmm. My soul, verse 5, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Because God is never going to let you down. And when I say that, I'm saying that in a way of maturity, right? Because I believe, see, when I say God is never going to let you down, it doesn't imply that you're going to get everything you want when you want it. But if you know God and you know his character, you shouldn't be let down when he doesn't do what you want at the time you want. Because you should understand that if he didn't do it, he had a purpose for not doing it then, and he's going to do something even greater than what you're waiting on if you can just be patient. Yeah. Doesn't mean we get everything we want. So my expectation is from him. And then David comes back in verse 6, repeating almost word by word, almost, verse number 2. In verse 6 he says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Earlier he said, I shall not be greatly moved. And now he said, I shall not be moved. And he gets to that point because he's depending on God. He has enemies all around him, and yet he can say, God is my rock, God is my defense, God is my salvation, I shall not be moved. Yeah. That means I'm not going to quiver in my boots. I'm not going to lose my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go up on the deep end. I'm not going to be snapping at people. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be disturbed. It's not good. And you know why? Because he's looking to God instead of looking out toward people. This is something that we should really consider and check on ourselves to see if we're doing this enough. You know, because look, I'm as guilty as the next one that when a problem comes up, I always want to put my hands to the work. That's not a bad thing necessarily. But we have to understand something, that the devil will tempt us in the areas of our weakness, but also in the areas of our strength. Look what he said to Jesus. He said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He wasn't talking to Jesus' weakness, he was talking to Jesus' power.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
He was tempting him in the area of his power. He was like saying, I know you can do it. Go ahead. And for us, sometimes the devil can tempt us in our area of strength. So here you are. You're a helpful person. See that? And the devil always now will give you the, well, you should go help him. You should go help him. You should go help him. And then say, no, you're running out of town helping everybody. And God didn't tell you to help hardly any of them. But see, you got such a good heart. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good thing. But the devil tempts you in your area of business. He tempts you in the areas of your strengths. And so like many, see, I want to put my hands to the work. And you know, men have generally this idea, not just men, but moms too, because moms always want to fix things in their family. And men just want to fix things, period. That's why we got a whole garage full of tools that we don't use. But one of these days, I'm going to fix them. Because we just look for stuff to fix. But here's the thing, you know, but instead of always putting our hands to the work, if we can get like David and say, I'm looking to you, Lord. From you and you only come my salvation. And I'm not going to be greatly moved. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to get worried. I'm not going to get burnt out. I'm just going to look to you. Because you are my salvation. You are my strength. You are my help. If we would do that, then we could be like David and say, I shall not be moved.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not going to sit here sweating, fretting. Amen? And I'm not staying up all night. I got up the other day, and Sister Penelope said to me, she said, how'd you sleep? Like a baby? I said, I don't know how babies sleep. But I slept good. I don't remember how I used to sleep when I was a baby. But I slept good. But isn't that a good testimony, though, where you can have all kinds of things going on in your life, and you're not missing a beat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Now, you know, you're not smiling any less. You're not walking with less pep in your step. Right? You understand that as Isaiah says, that all shall be well with the righteous.
Yeah.
I love that scripture. All shall be well with the righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. Guess what that means? All is well. Remember that song? It is well. I don't know the song, right? It is well with my soul. Right? That's all I said. It is well. It is well. Right? Let's go to verse 7. We're almost done. And God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. See, and as we read this, look how many times David is talking about what comes from God, what's in God. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense, right? He's my salvation, he says it again, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. That's good times and bad times.
Yeah.
Sunshine and rain. In abundance and lack. Trust in him at all times. What trust means? Having confidence that he will not fail you.
Yes.
See, when you trust somebody like that, you don't say, what if? You trust. That means that you have confidence that he will not fail you. Trust in him at all times. Then he says this, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now David includes us in it. Amen? Before he's saying, he's my refuge. Now he says, he's a refuge for us.
Mm-hmm.
A place where we can go for safety.
Amen.
He says, surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Why? Because easy come, easy go. Amen? And the love of money is the root of all evil. Right? Don't set your heart on money. Right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Make sure your heart's in the right place. Let your bank account grow. That's fine. God has no problem with increase. But make sure your heart is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen? God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. That power belongs to God.
Yeah.
Jesus had to tell Pilate, you have no power. Remember he told him? You think you got all of it, you think you got me, and then you get your mother, your daughter, you have no power. John the Baptist said that a man can't get anything unless it comes down from heaven. All authority is from God, Paul said in Romans 13. Power belongs to God. So they're going to tell you, we're going to evict you out the house. We're going to deny the loan. We're going to do this. All power belongs to God.
Yeah.
Also under thee, O Lord, belongs mercy. Praise the Lord for mercy.
Yeah.
Not getting what we deserve. But thou render to every man according to his work. So, when we look at this psalm, first of all, it's the honesty of David, right? That he's talking about his enemies and everything else, but his focus on God for his help, for his provision, for his protection, is something that just sort of jumps off the page at us and makes us look at ourselves and say, am I doing that? And if I'm not, I need to start doing this.
Yeah.
Right? In ways great and small, that I'm going to say, I'm looking to God. Truly, my soul waits upon you. Salvation is from God. He's my defense. He's my refuge. I shall not be moved. That's wonderful right there. So, you know, as we go through this life and the frustrations come, because the day brings all kinds of stuff, we got to keep our heart on God. Amen?
Amen?
And as we do that, God will lift that burden from us. The same way Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what God wants to give us, rest. Amen. And he wants us to rely on him. We know this, don't we?
Yeah.
We know what I mean. We know this, right? But we don't often do it.
Amen.
Lord, help us change that tonight. Amen.
Amen.
That we can start looking to you and trusting in you and believing in you and having our expectation in you and you alone. But truly, my soul waited on the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we bless you that we have you in our corner. You are our God, always willing to help us, to bless us, to protect us, provide for us, to meet our every need. And Father God, we just ask you to forgive us right now for all the times that we look to other people, other sources, and even to ourselves for the solution to our problems.
Yeah.
You alone, God, are our refuge. You alone, God, are our salvation. You alone, God, are the one who can turn around our situation and make it for the better. And so, Father God, we just ask you now, by the help of your Holy Spirit, to cause us to be like David, to look unto you for our help and our expectation, to look unto you, because you alone, God, are our rock. And in your presence, we shall not be greatly moved.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we thank you right now that as we go forward, Lord, that these words will reverberate in our hearts and in our minds,
yes.
And we will be mindful, oh God, when we find ourselves in tight situations and frustrated situations, oh God, that we will look unto you,
yes.
And look unto you alone and put our help, our expectation, and our hope in you. And we believe by faith that you will never let us down. And so, Father, we just thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, for you always reminding us how much you love us and how willing you are to help us to be the best we can be and to have the life that Jesus died to give us. Father, we thank you for it and we receive it all now by faith. And we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. And God, as we prepare to leave, we just ask you to guide us home safely. God, we take nothing for granted. Even the trip from here to there, God, is fraught with danger. And so, Father, we ask you to be our fence all around us, oh God. Let your hand of protection be strong upon us and deposit us safely home. And, Father, we bless you right now. And, Father, as we arrive, we will lift up our hands and bless you again and give you the praise because you are always worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.